Well, good evening, Florence. This is Carly from Quan Nai on the 30th of September, sending you an urgent message, one that I've got to get away quickly because I read the letter that you wrote on the 24th, and you are about to go crazy because the tape that I sent has no intelligence to it. I'm certainly sorry that you can't understand it, and I think the only reason you can't is because I mistakenly taped it in stereo, and you have no stereo to record it on. So the solution is not to send it back to me to retape, but to find a stereo tape recorder and put it on there and play it. Then you'll get to hear what old Carly sent you in a message. You remember when I came home with that tape recorder from Hong Kong and played the tape that you couldn't understand? Remember how it sounded, how nice it was? Well, that's stereo. And I have played you a stereo tape before I corrected it, and when I play them here on this machine and play them back to check them, the thing plays well because my machine will take both stereo and individual mono and play it back. So I'm terribly sorry, but take it someplace where there's a stereo tape deck, or borrow one from somebody, and or go rent one. You can rent one for $7 a week or so. Remember the one I rented that I took up to Tom Jones's? Well, anyway, you can get one and play them off. Don't send them back, and I'll try and remember to, from now on, to tape you tapes that are only on a mono, so you can play them on yours. I'm sorry, baby, but we all make frantic mistakes now and then. I notice also that when you're having trouble with our little dog, he suddenly becomes my dog. He says, your dog and I had a little trouble the other night. She's no longer sleeping on the bed with me. My dog, huh? Okay. Cindy, you're going to have to shape up, or you're going to be sleeping in the doghouse where you belong. You hear me? Cindy. You better mind Florence, or you're in plenty big trouble, I can tell you that. Well, honey, this was another pleasant day in Quan Nai. I'm so busy that I just seem to go to work, and pretty soon it's time to go to lunch, then it's time to come home. And I had an English class this evening, and I didn't get home till 6:30 or 6:45. But everything is going along swimmingly, and the work is progressing, and I've had, today was payday for most of the people, and I had, Captain Maxwell was out paying while I did some office work, and things really going along pretty good and getting fairly well organized and the way they should be. So I have no complaints today when I tape this letter to you, and I'm perfectly relaxed and happy. I've just had a wonderful meal of stew, and stew that came to us just by a sort of fate, I guess, because I unwrapped a roast that was frozen this noon and left it thinking I'd have roast beef and brown gravy for supper. And I told the maid to let it thaw and put it in a roaster and put it in the oven about 4 o'clock. Well, Ed come home earlier and the roast turned out to be stew meat that was all frozen in one chunk and looked like a roast. And when it thawed out, it was already cut up stew meat. But nobody told the maid to change directions, so she put it in the oven, like I told her, and put it in a pot and put some potatoes with it. And when I come home about 5, there was that nice stew meat and the potatoes about half done. And all it needed was a little flavoring and some carrots and onions, and it would have made a good stew. So it so happened that the boss brought some stew flavoring stuff in one of those plastic packages like you sent us. He brought it from Taiwan, and I put a little flour in the stew and a little salt and a little bit of oil and mixed up that flavor mix with it, and with the onions and the carrots and the potatoes all turned out swell, and boy, that stew tasted real good tonight. So after a good evening of stew meal and relaxed conversation, here I am quickly taping you a letter so that the results of this conversation will tell you how to handle that tape and a half that don't come out, or come out nothing. And I know how curious you are, and you keep wondering what I said to you. And this might have been the tape that you should really hear, because I've said some things that I intended to have bolster your morale up and keep you rolling high. Say, I never did explain why we've changed the advisory team from 2 to 17. We have an advisory team 2 here, who is the APO number. It's the Military Command Advisory Team number 2, and it's the military side who is different than our military and cords, MACV cords, who work for us, who we work with. And this military is advisory team number 2, and they advise the Arvin military, or the Vietnamese Army. And their APO number is the one that we get our mail at, so we just use advisory team number 2. But actually, we're a MACV Cords advisory team, and our number is 17. So we change, they've finally come out and said that we would be number 17, and we were supposed to start using it on September the 15th. So I've changed some of these over to 17, and I hope it didn't upset you too much, because you got a big question mark. How come? Well, I never explained it to you, and so the question mark is well justified. This, you talked about a car wreck by Gary Bruce. I guess that's Gary is Bobby's boy, and not the Gary that lives in Denver, the retired sailor. You never said anything. I guess they didn't get hurt, because no one was hurt. And this Gary is, I wonder if he's a good car driver in the condition he's in. I'd kind of hate to ride with him. So I hope that he learns something from it and doesn't get into too much trouble with the law. Of course, over there, I guess they all look out after him and for him. Well, how time do fly. Here it is, the 30th of the month and the last day of the month and the beginning of October, which is my birth month, and by the time you get this, it'll just be about my birthday. So I guess you can sing a happy birthday to Carly, and I'll sing along with you. Happy birthday to me, happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, dear Carly. Happy birthday to me. Now, you can harmonize with that on October the 10th. And you can burn a candle in the cake. And you can cut a piece of cake and say, I'm having a birthday dinner with Carly. So, it's kind of nice to see this birthday coming up. And so I can get rid of this black cloud that gets over me before my birthday. And I have been kind of upset here the last month or two, but I think it's shaping up a little better. And when October is over, then it'll come November, and then it'll come December, and then if everything goes right, Carly will be coming home a couple of months from now. And visiting a couple of months, almost three, I guess, 2 months and 20 days. That's 60, 80 days. So if everything goes well, I should be home in 80 days. Does that sound too far away? Anyway, we'll think about it. We can scratch him off each day as I get closer. We can scratch one more day, and then we'll just live to spend our holiday together. I hope everything is right and that I can get away. I'm everybody wants to go home on Christmas, and I hope that there's money enough to send us home. Seems about the end of the year that the budget gets to be a problem, particularly the aid budget that Congress doesn't want to favorably increase or I don't know, economically hang on to. Maybe they're going to have to cut my salary to get me home. But we've got the biggest share of our tour behind us, and if I go out in June, that's 6 months and eight more months. So we've got over the hump for the halfway mark, but I'll be home for Christmas, I'm pretty sure, and I'll be at least I've got something to look forward to every day. The fact that I'll be home pretty soon. And the fact that I've got lots to keep me busy, so the days will go by and slip right by. And the first thing you know, the Indian summer will be over, the fall will be over, and the snow will be coming down. Here it is October, and probably by my birthday, you should have had a snow or two. Is the weather really crispy there in the mornings now? I'll bet it is. I can just imagine that even might find some frost on the pumpkin or a little hoarfrost on the grass in the mornings. I always did like the crisp mornings in Boulder. I like to see the aspen turning. I like to think there's a little excitement in the air of everyone who has the change of seasons or feels them. And the girls all wear their pretty fall clothes, and the wives all wear their pretty smiles, and Florence always wears hers for me. Fall, winter, spring, and summer. And so all seasons are something that I enjoy so much. I'm sorry that you haven't seen Aunt Barb. You say in your letter that you haven't been up to see her yet. And I do hope she gets better. And I hope that you tell her that I'm thinking about her. And I'm praying, hoping that she gets back home. And I'm hoping that if she has to go to a home, that she'll be happy. But I don't think you can talk to Aunt Barb and sympathize with her. I think she is probably too self-willed and too strong-willed, rather, and probably a little self-centered, that she just can't sympathize with her. She's got too much to say. She always has. But Aunt Barb was always nice to you and nice to me. And so I suspect that your life, you won't feel right unless you be very good to her. And that's the way it should be, because you're good to most everybody. I'm surprised that Uncle Joe has failed so fast. He seems, of course, I haven't talked to him for a couple of years, but it seemed when I last talked to him, he was quite level-headed and wasn't having forgetting periods and wasn't worried. Of course, he's got a lot of worries he's had on his mind in the last year or two, and it's probably drove him out of his mind, if anything. But I hope that the good Lord takes care of them and makes their whole life a lot easier than it has really been. They're really having problems living at home. So maybe a home will be the best place for them if they can find some place that they like and some place they'll feel like they're wanted.